salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
So what's that old saying? Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. That'd be me. What a wonderful weekend we had. I'm going to dive into all this. Don't want to make some of you jealous, but I hope I do. But had a wonderful weekend at Sky High. And I was going out the door on one night. Was Saturday night? Friday, I don't know, one of those nights. And when I was going out the door, I had something in both hands, and I'm talking to somebody as I'm going out, and I catch my toe on the threshold of the door. And I start slow motion down. And I know this. As I'm falling, some of you have been in this situation. As I'm falling, I'm thinking, broken clavicle or broken rib? What's going to be the end result here? Because I had no ability at all to catch myself. And man, I'm telling you, I went down and I laid there for a second and I kind of touched everything. It seemed to be okay. Clavicle didn't break. I knew that. But boy, I did something. I didn't break a rib. I might have cracked a rib or bruised a rib. But oh, my goodness. So I haven't slept all weekend, really, because I just can't sleep with it. And somebody said to me here in the queue that, you look tired. I am. I'm not as tired as Larry Richardson. I'm telling you, you want to see something, you ought to see that old dog hunt. And Larry drove all the way up from Myrtle Beach, brought his granddaughter with him and Reb with him. And I know, I just made that trip. I know how hard that trip is. And Larry cooked nonstop. Unbelievable. Just unbelievable. And I said, Larry, man, Larry didn't even get to join in a lot of the stuff that was going on. He just cooked and cleaned and cooked and cleaned. And I learned again this weekend that we are, in fact, one body, many members, and that each and every member has a skill set, a talent, and very few get an opportunity to use it. So I think it's one of the tragedies of Christianity. Number one, most men or women don't have any idea what their skill set is, and number two, get very little opportunity to use it. And Larry, who just was, I'm telling you, he said, Coach, this is just so exciting for me. I enjoy doing this. He said, I'm like a kid at a candy store. So I appreciate it. We had a great weekend, man. We had a great weekend at Sky High. We had about 65 of us. I think we tried to cut it off at 50. I think we ended up with about 65 that came. And they came from all over America again. Florida, North Dakota, Texas, Carolinas, you name it, they came. And you know what was really pretty amazing? They were not what I would call our group. A lot of them didn't know anything about really Pass the Salt Ministries. Didn't know, you know, I had a chance last week, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whenever it was, to appear on Hagman Report and talk about the tactical training. And that's where most of these people came from. They came from the Hagman Report. And you know, people who would come were like, you know, when Roger Weaver showed up and looked around and said, Coach, these aren't the same people that were here last time. I said, I know. It's amazing, isn't it? That'll be a message out there to us that there's an awakening going on and a hunger for truth. And we ought to be really, really encouraged as I am about the whole thing. I want to run down just some thank yous real quick. Gary and Debbie Pierce kept us in line. I already told them. I just want to appreciate them publicly for everything they did. Want to appreciate my wife, Michelle. God, not only is she pretty, I think I'd love her if she was ugly. Just kidding. Just kidding. What a help meet she has been to us. I'm looking over here. Holly Baglio. You know, can I just go for here and say, sure you can, Coach. It's your show. We had such a variety of individuals there. You know, I saw Chad Estes is the one who put me onto this about, I don't know, year and a half ago. He said, Coach, we're dealing with a Lonely Hearts Club band. Lonely, the disassociated, the left foot of fellowship crowd, the ones who've wandered away from church, the ones who love the Lord. Do you know what I really, really saw? We have a lot of deeply wounded Christians. Somebody say amen. Deeply wounded Christians.
Amen.
They love the Lord. They're deeply wounded, folks. Deeply, amen. Deeply, deeply wounded. And hungry for fellowship. Starving for somebody to tell them they're not crazy. Somebody to help them fight the spiritual battle that's going on. And it just grieves me. Really grieves me. That we don't even know the weapons of our warfare. We know what they're not. They're not carnal. We sure got that one down. We don't know what they are. People came to shoot guns and fly drones. David Paxton and his wife and Tom, they came from New York and helped us fly drones. And Jeff Nares helped with the shotguns. And Estes was on top of his game like I've never seen him. He drove all the way here with Danny from Texas. 18 hours. Chad told me he just got home about an hour and a half ago. Talked nonstop. Trained nonstop. Oh, my goodness. Tom Dunn did a great job on spiritual warfare. And I talked about Holly Baglio, who is going to join us on Wednesday. Listen to me. Holly Baglio is going to join us on Wednesday. She spent 37 years, as they say, SRA. She's what they call a survivor. Satanically, ritually abused. Most of us don't have any idea what that means. Holly's lived that life. She's come out of that life. She gave a brief testimony a Saturday night. She's going to join us Sunday morning or Wednesday morning to talk about it. Stephanie College came and was Stephanie. See, we've lost sight. We don't believe in the supernatural, friends. The church has no belief in the supernatural. We know that there's a devil, and we know that there's demons, and we know that, but first of all, we don't believe in it. We don't believe we have power over it. Tom Dunn did a fabulous two-night training on it was just great. Just unbelievable good. Larry, as I said, cooked up his storm. Gary and Dan McSean. Who else? Michelle, stamp on the floor if you know who else I forgot.
Well, Dave, I also want to put a shout-out to Jeff and Todd Henry. Those guys, Todd the Shotgun, did a great job on that. I got a lot of compliments on those guys, their ability. So thanks for them for stepping up.
My goodness. And Tracy Tennant, who coming out of Mormonism. We took him to the she gave me a book. I got to read it, Tracy. She and her husband came from Iowa. Can you believe that? Can you believe they would come from Iowa? Now, listen. Can you believe they would come from Iowa and didn't have any idea who I was and what we do? They're that hungry. Couple drove in from as high up in North Dakota as you can get. They drove in for it. They drove in from Florida by himself. The hunger is beyond what I can even tell you, friends. And Michelle brought me that book down. And I guess I woke up this morning. I was talking to my wife about the wounded Christianity. She was up early. I was up like 4 this morning. She was up like 5:30, and they're just talking about it. Why? What has happened to us that we as Christians have so little understanding of what's going on around us? Now, it's easy. It's easy to bash the pastors. It's easy. I do a lot of it. I don't do it intentionally. Yes, I do. I don't make it personal. When I say pastors, that's a general term. And I don't know. I don't have anybody in mind when I'm talking about it, right? I just would make this call out to pastors right now. Some are listening, I know. Guys, girls, if you're a female pastor, you don't have any idea the hunger sitting in your pews. You have any idea? I'm just telling you. I often think, from my experiences of having done this for a while, and I'll get some amens maybe from the crowd here. The people sitting in the pews, Pastor, have questions you're not talking about. They have questions that you are not talking about. I don't know why you're not talking about. I mean, I've been playing this through my own mind. I've never been a pastor, and I don't want to continually come across as pastor bashing. It's like somebody who bashes a football coach. Unless you've been one, you don't understand that. So I understand. I'm not a pastor. And I haven't been a pastor, and I don't claim to be a pastor. So I can't wear your hat and say that I understand. I've not walked a mile in your moccasins. I haven't. I just haven't. But where's the curiosity? Where's the curiosity in our church leadership? Maybe it's elders. Maybe it's not pastors. Maybe it's elders. I felt an electricity go through the room on Saturday night when I introduced Holly Baglio, who's coming, going to be on with us on Wednesday, and let her talk about 5 minutes about being satanically, ritually abused. Are you looking at me? Living in a cage as a child. Don't we have a curiosity about that? Do you have any curiosity, Pastor, about Pizzagate? And is it real? And child trafficking? And is it real? Satanically, richly abused children? And are there people in your congregation that are dealing with this? Who have family members? Pastor, aren't you interested about demonic influences? Do you realize, Pastor, that sitting right in your church are people who are suffering with insomnia, demonically imposed insomnia? Oh, yeah. Talking about that? You have no curiosity about that? Don't you know, Pastor, that you have people sitting in your pew? So people sitting in. I'm getting some feedback.
Somebody. Hey, Coach.
Yes. Go ahead. Wyman, you just shut up. You just silenced yourself. Go ahead again.
Okay, there you go. I'll move the cursor. I so agree with you. I have found out since leaving the church because of abuse that I am possibly an SRA survivor as well. But it was never talked about. They didn't even come close to talking about it. We found out in the last 2 years since leaving. I'm also, as I've shared before, I'm also a two-time cancer survivor who refused chemo and radiation. The congregation asked me, when is the pastor going to let you stand and share your testimony? But that never happened. They always talked about the people on the other side, but they never allowed me to share that there were other opportunities. And I found out it's because the doctors pay their salaries.
What a shame.
Oh, my goodness. Point being what, Pastor? I'm sorry. I just got to call them like it is, all right? Do you have any idea what the people in your church are dealing with? Don't you have any curiosity at all? That this demonic battle, this demonic war, you mean to tell me, Pastor, you can't look around and understand that there's something demonically powerful going on and you don't have any curiosity about it? That the people in your church, they themselves are dealing with it? Or their children are dealing with it, or their grandchildren are dealing with it, and you don't want to know anything about it. Are you kidding me? That's almost, dare I say it, that's almost malpractice. It's almost malpractice.
It is, Coach.
No, why? Listen, I don't want you to, I don't want anybody, Pastor, to come in and I whatever. Get as mad as you want to, but Pastor, if you're the shepherd of your sheep, do you understand that your sheep are being devoured by the enemy and they have nowhere to turn to for help? They come to church looking for spiritual solutions to the problems they have, and you want to talk to them about Financial Peace University. You want to talk to them about all this other stuff that's going on, and there are people sitting in your church who are dealing with deep, deep, deep demonic spiritual issues, and you don't have any curiosity about it. You don't want to come and hear.
Amen.
There's wolves leading sheep to slaughter, Coach.
But they're not doing it on purpose because they want to be good at what they do. They love people or they wouldn't go into it. Why is it there's no curiosity? That room should have been filled with pastors learning from Tom Dunn how to deal with spiritual darkness.
Exactly. Amen.
Man, oh man, why is it not? Why are we taking the spiritual and put it in the closet? Somebody call Russ Dizdar. We got one over here. Somebody call Tom Dunn. We got one over here. No, you got a lot of them. You got a lot of them. And you're giving them pablum. And I know why. I think I know why. Same thing with me. I don't understand it. I don't really understand it. I don't understand demonic oppression and demonic possession. And as Stephanie would say, what do they call that when they take you one place and you end up in another place? What do they call that, Stephanie? I know you're listening, Stephanie.
Remote viewing.
What? No. Oh, what's it called? Astral projection.
Right.
Are you going to the average church and say astral projection? They say, huh? And Stephanie says, it's real. It's real. Why won't the church talk about the supernatural? We are supernatural beings. We are spirit men living in a body. We are connected to the spiritual realm, the supernatural. Why is there no curiosity?
Hey, Coach?
Yes.
You know, I was getting blood work done at a local laboratory here a couple of days ago, and the two people who worked there are very much red-pilled, and one of them was showing me a book that Hillary Clinton possessed, was showing on her podcast. It was about spiritual soul cooking.
Oh, now you're getting tinfoil hat going on us, Gary. We don't believe that here in our church. You right, Gary, you get it, right?
Oh, yeah. I don't think my pastor would even know what that is.
Spiritual soul, spirit cooking? You mean like they did at Pizzagate? You mean that fake Pizzagate that was all made up? You mean that stuff? Yeah, that stuff. Why isn't come on in here, Chad. Why isn't we got curiosity? Hey, Pastor, do you know that the people in your church would love to learn how to shoot guns? Do you know that? Do you know that when we say we're going to train people in shooting guns and spiritual warfare, they drive all the way from North Dakota. They drive all the way from Florida. They drive all the way from Texas. Why? Because there isn't any place else to get it. There ain't no place else to get it. What's that? Pastor, doesn't that make you curious? No. So you got a church where there's no demonic activity going on? Nobody having sleep paralysis? Nobody, that's not happened to anybody in there, right? No, that's not going on. Everybody's sleeping great at night. They're not having any visitations. They don't. You mean to tell me you don't have anybody at church that finds themselves doing things they wish they didn't do and they don't know why? You don't have anybody in that's hooked on that demon of pornography? Nobody in your church is hooked on that? What? You mean you don't have understand? What? That's not for today? Is that what you're telling me? It's not for today? Better tell the devil. Better tell him it's not for today. I promised my wife I wouldn't do this because it comes across as pastor bashing, and that's not what I want to do. I'm going to tell you this. Let me give this as an example. Pastor, men and women, there are gifts all around you. All around you. We had people come to the Sky High this weekend. We had a lady from over in Western Ohio. She started sewing our torn carpet. What? Yeah, we have part of carpet. We got one of those remnants or whatever it was, a carpet. It's got a tear in it. She gets out her stuff and starts sewing that carpet. She says, this is what I do. I had Ken come up to me just before he got ready to leave on Sunday. And he said to me, he says, Coach, I noticed you got a lot of equipment here. He said, I'd love to come out here and do maintenance on these things for you. That's what I do. I'd love to change the oil in the tractor and grease them up there and take care of them. So I'd love to make sure these things are all winterized. This is what I do. Just looking for a place to plug in his gift. That's all he wants. Wants to serve. People call, Coach, I can do training on canning. I'd like to do some training on canning. Coach, I'd like to do some training on, pick the topic. Are you, Pastor, are you using that in your church? Are you making use of that in your church? Or are you just living, are your people just living in a parallel universe, in a little Christian box, and all the world's gone to hell around them, and they know it's gone to hell around them, and they come and sit in that little box, and you never talk about what's going on. Okay. I've probably gone on too long. Are you guys feeling me? I don't get it. And then my wife, what'd she say to me? Well, honey, it's the remnant. Well, I know there's some good remnant pastors out there. I know there are. There's some good remnant pastors out there. Did they ever come to these trainings? Ever? Chad, were there any there this weekend that you know of?
Not that I know of. You know, and I just think, too, it's not just they're missing a good opportunity for that fellowship and kind of, I think so many times they're up at the podium and not down in the pews. You're rubbing elbows with the people, and you really, I think you lose. They just lose focus. They lose connection with people.
Chad, you mean they could come and not be a pastor? They could just come in and say, "Hey, I'm Joe Silver," and not tell us that they're a pastor. They could come and just hang out with the folks and rub elbows with them and hear the hearts of the people sitting around there, so they might have a better understanding of what's going on. Right? Is that what you're saying, Chad? That's what I'm saying.
Just come in, be incognito. We don't even have to know. You don't even have to say you are. Just come in and listen. And absorb that, and then take that back to your congregation, and then begin the healing, man. Begin the healing.
Every church in America, my opinion, every church in America ought to be doing one of these tactical training for their people. Why aren't they? I don't know.
Oh, amen, Coach. That's because the Good Remnant Church, like myself, we had our tactical training 2 weeks ago for our complete adults and children. Yesterday, I had training, spiritual warfare training, an airsoft war with a very young generation. That's what you do.
That's right. Who? Hey, come on, Pastor Train. Come on in, Silver. I saw you. I saw you there.
Part of the problem in being a pastor today is that your objective is to build the church as big as you can make it. Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, we came out of a church that had 3,000 people. And the only way my pastor really knew me was when I handed him a check from a gift that I received. And he knew me then. He forgot me about 5 minutes later. Okay.
And Joe, I don't even know 3,000 people, I don't think, let alone pastor them.
Well, I'm just saying that the churches need to downsize. This group here is perfect. I mean, maybe twice this size. But, you know, as a pastor, you don't know everybody here. Because when they come in or when they come to one of the trainings, that kind of thing, these people are new to you. Okay?
Yeah.
As a regular congregation, that pastor should know everybody in their lives and what's going on, where they need help, all this kind of stuff. And bringing them the word, you know, it's kind of like the little church on that Prairie Show, whatever the heck that was, but just a small church kind of thing. And I'm just amazed at how big they want to make these things. It's just for money. They don't care about souls, you know.
I'm going to defend them, Joe, because I think they do. I just don't think they know what to do when they get 3,000 people there. What do you do with them? What do you do with them?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I visited the Grace Bible Church. I did it again. I preached in front of a church again. And this time, they invited me in, but I told them, no, I won't come to the building because I've been there 3 times already, and I know what you're like. I still came across immaturity. Even the pastor's son brought me a latte.
Yeah, they want virtue signaling, right? They want to show you how much they love Jesus, and they love you, even though they would love to give you a black eye. They'll give you a latte instead and be virtue signaling. Yeah. They're really loving, caring people. Yeah.
After the service, Coach, I preached. I encouraged, but they still stay in infant stasis. No matter how I said spiritualism, getting up the far wall, elekinesis, everything, and they still don't get it. They're a social club.
Let me tell you why, Jeff. Let me bring some peace to you. They have no relationship with you, Jeff. They have no relationship with you. That's what it is. And they go into the church, and everybody in the church says, that guy out there is crazy. They have no relationship with you, and they don't want any. That's what's going on.
Right. They push Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, than expanding their knowledge.
Come on in, Larry.
Yeah, you know, you asked the question. Pastors don't know what to do with the huge, huge congregations and stuff. Well, now, this may not be for every one of them out there with the huge churches, but I guarantee you this is about most of them out there with huge churches. They know what to do with it. They pass it on to some associate pastors who don't care any more than they do, just to keep the, like Joe Silver said, just keep the numbers growing and the money coming in. That's what they do. That is what they know, because that's what their leader, Satan, teaches them.
Let me be peaceful here. They have to keep the money in because they've hired staff. And you hire staff and you're loyal to your staff, and they have a job and they have medical insurance and they have children and all that. So you got to keep the money in because you're loyal to your people. It's not always just the greed of the pastor. It's more than that. We have built this monstrosity of Christianity that does not, I don't think, resemble what it is that the Lord would have us to do.
There lies one of the biggest problems, Coach, is that we're building our churches when the scripture said, and Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Mm-hmm. And when we get this mentality that we're building it, then it becomes a man-made religion.
Amen. So, Dale, let me ask this. It's 7:28. We had a little church service yesterday. It was really, really good. It was really good, if I do say so myself. And here is the topic that I threw out there that I would love to throw out there today. I'd love to throw it out there right now. Ultimately, my friends, what is Christianity and what is its purpose? Is Christianity merely salvation and going to heaven? Because if we don't figure out what Christianity is, what it's about, what its goal is, and what its purpose is, we'll never know how to play the game. We will never figure it out. So the question I asked Sunday morning that I'm asking you today, what's the purpose of Christianity? Hey, for you, you're saved. I'm saved. Somebody can tell. I can give you my birth date. I was saved on June 22nd, 1978. I'll never forget that night. I fell down on my knees and I cried like a baby and asked Jesus into my heart. And then I said, okay, for what? I'm going to wait. For what? Go to heaven? Well, if the purpose of Christianity is for you to go to heaven, why don't you die the moment you're saved? Why don't you get saved and boom, shoop, I evacuate you out of here? So I'm going to ask it again. And open up the microphone. What's the purpose of Christianity? Come on in, somebody. Straighten me out here.
To rescue the wicked.
Go ahead, Clay. Promote the kingdom of heaven.
To do what, Clay?
I think it's to promote the kingdom of heaven.
What does that mean?
You got to do something. You got to find your gift and spread the word. Make an impact. Hey,
okay.
Coach, another thing is that I've experienced is maturity. Learn how to work with your emotions and mature yourself and get yourself prepared for the mission that God has given us.
Okay. What's the ultimate mission? Hang on. This is important, folks. This is important.
To save souls.
Is that the ultimate mission? Can somebody tell me where it says that?
To love God.
No, hang on a minute. Hang on a minute. I'm not trying to make anybody mad. I'm trying to make everybody think. Can somebody tell me where it says the mission of the church, the mission of Christianity, is to save souls? Can somebody point me to that scripture?
Go ahead. I can't point to the scripture, Coach, but the whole mission is to save, is to do that.
Well, it's because
for what?
The mission that I read in the scripture, and of course all the gospels, commanding us to go into the earth. Paul writes that we are now the ambassadors to Christ Jesus. We're representing his kingdom in this earthly kingdom, and we are to conquer, to build up, to tear down. Brother, we're always in spiritual warfare. Sometimes we're as wise as a serpent. Sometimes we're gentle as a dove. To implore our gifts that we're the body of Christ, right, to meet the people. And as all Paul also said in Timothy, to fulfill your calling as an evangelist. Everybody is called. Revelations, which I read at the end, at the very last chapter, chapter 22, it says, let the Spirit and bride say come, and then for them to tell others to come. So, brother, it's not a single mission.
I think it is.
Can I chime in for a second here?
I think if you summed it up, discipleship. If you summed it up,
amen.
I think the mission of Christians, the church, the members of the true body of Christ, is to get out there and being led by the Holy Spirit to inform and invite everybody that they everybody that you're led to. I'm not going to say everybody that's on the face of the earth. Your mission isn't to talk to everybody on the face of the earth. You can't do it. But those that you're led to invite them to join us in the family of God.
Okay, hang on a second. Hang on.
It is upon them to decide whether to join you or not. It is not your responsibility, nor is it your duty to push them into the family of God.
So let me, I see Tim wants to come in, and I see Jeff wants to come in. Let me throw this out there. If I were to go, come on now, we're all adults here, okay? We're all adults. If I was going to go out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ to someone, why would I tell them they want to come to Jesus? Why would I tell them? You don't have to answer, because I know the answer. The answer would be so they can go to heaven, right? That's how we share the gospel. Share that. Mike, 1 John, please. 1 John 3. 1 John 3. Come on in, Tim. Oh, he's going to 1 John 3. You raised your hand. I assumed you wanted in. Did you want in, Tim? Okay. Jeff, did you want to come in? You put your hand up. That's what I thought it was.
Well, you remind me of Acts chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him in unto Antioch. And it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves with the ecclesia and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians. First in Antioch.
Okay, you read that, but that didn't make any sense to me. I mean, it does, right? Why? Why do you want to become a Christian? So you can get saved and go to heaven? Because that's what they tell us. That's what they tell us. Yes.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Jesus, one of his purposes, if not the main one, was to come to get so that he could leave and get the Holy Spirit on the earth. Why? Why? Because he is the Spirit of truth, Coach. He is what teaches us everything and shows us everything to do with God and the kingdom of God. Now, if our purpose was just to go to heaven, hey, we can just get saved and be done. We don't have to worry about truth. We don't have to worry about that. But Coach, that's not the purpose. The purpose is to continue the way, the truth, and the life on the earth. That's what it is. It's to continue that. It's to occupy the earth till whenever, whoever, wow. We can talk about that. But it's to bring forth his kingdom from then on forever. We've been talking about this. But
I'm in 1 John 3, and it's up on the screen right now. This I used this yesterday in church. Because I believe the American church has an identity crisis. And the identity crisis being, we really don't know what we're supposed to do. We really don't know. And because we have such an identity crisis, we have all kinds of pastors telling us different things we're supposed to do. They don't know. They don't do it themselves. How can they tell you what to do if they don't do it? How can they tell you what the purpose of church is if they don't know? And so because they don't really know what the purpose of church is and they have an identity crisis, they just try to build a bigger church. But I want to show you something, a very clear mission statement. By the way, we all know this, right, that Jesus said, go into all the world and do what? Teach the gospel of Jesus Christ and teach them to observe all I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. Yeah, come on in, Mrs. Higgins.
Naomi. So along with what you're saying is they must run out of things to say because they have their annual sermons that you can count on every year at the same time of year. They just change the wording a little bit.
That's right, because they're all, well, yes, ma'am. So here I am in 1 John. Stay with me a second. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. You could just camp right there, couldn't you, Silver? What? What manner of love that he calls us his sons?
Absolutely. We could stop right there, right?
Therefore, look, the world doesn't know us, Jeff. The world doesn't know us because they didn't know him. You see that right there in 1 John 3, 1? Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we're going to be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as Jesus is pure. And whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifest, or he appeared. Watch this, because we're going to find out why Jesus came. And we know that he was manifested to take away our sins. Wow. Hang on. He ain't mentioned salvation yet, has he? And whosoever sinneth hasn't seen him, neither knows him. Little children, don't let anybody deceive you. We know who deceives, don't we? He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And he that committed sin is of the devil. Watch this. For his seed, whose? The devil's seed remaineth in him. Whose seed? Devil's seed. I thought we were all God's children. No, whoever is born of God is God's children. And he cannot, I'm sorry, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. I got ahead of myself. That's talking about the seed of God. In this, the children of God are manifest or appear, right? And the children of the devil. Boys and girls, the devil has kids. That just says it right there. In this, the children of God are obvious, and so are the children of the devil. Boys and girls, we're not all God's children. Watch. So whosoever doesn't do righteousness, well, he belongs to the devil. Basically is what he's saying. And neither he that doesn't love his brother. Not the world, not everybody, because not everybody's your brother. For this is the message that you heard Whoops, I missed something. No, Mike, go back down. I skipped right over. I must have skipped a verse.
You skipped verse 8.
Thank you, Joseph. That's, I knew I messed up something. Let's go to verse 7 again. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Here comes the Christian manifesto. Here comes the Christian mission statement. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the sin, devil sinneth from the beginning. And for this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he might get everybody saved. Is that what it says? No. Why did God show up? Because he was going to destroy what the devil did. He's going to restore all things. In fact, because he showed up to destroy the works of the devil, you can get saved. You understand that? The work of the devil separated you from God. Saying the sinner's prayer, getting saved, brings you back in relationship with God. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest. He destroyed the work of the devil, and so therefore you can now come into right relationship with God and be a child of God. And how about this? Do the work of God in the world. God didn't come to save you. It's a byproduct of your salvation. He came to destroy the works of the devil, and because he did it, it is finished. You're now a soldier of the cross, brother. You're now a soldier of the cross. And you know what we're doing? We're taking people in churches and we're having them do the sinner's prayer. And instead of turning them into soldiers, we turn them into cheerleaders.
Amen, coach.
Become little cheerleaders with pom-poms and waving flags and want to go out and get other cheerleaders. God wants warriors. God wants men and God. He needs people who are going to expand the kingdom of God. But see, that message is missing from the church, in my opinion.
Hey, Coach.
Yes. Hang on. Go ahead, Gary.
Yeah, and for the man, the church seeks to produce nothing but Mr. Rogers clones. That's what I've experienced.
Yeah, because they don't want to be challenged. How dare you challenge them? Brian says they're bench warmers. Go ahead, Jeff. Or Joe. Maybe it was Joe. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, it was me. I was going to say that the way you described that was perfect because, you know, I'm ex-military. A lot of people in here are as well. What churches need when people become saved is a true boot camp.
Yes, sir.
To make soldiers for Christ.
That's right. Now, friends, I know some of you are nervous right now. So this guy's preaching a false teacher. Helen, it's a cult. Hey, Coach Dave, he's starting a cult, Helen. He's preaching heresy. Really? Well, let's go right there. Let's go here a minute. Verse 9, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil are too. The devil has kids. He has offspring. When's the last time you heard that in church? Oh, Jesus loves everybody. Really? Can you show me where that is? For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, our brothers and sisters. Oh man, come on now, all of you think I'm a heretic. Come on in. I know.
Like I said, Coach, this is the ambassadorship. These are the gifts. Not everybody's an infantry. He might be a jet fighter. But then the last thing that is this. Is that if pastors are not willing to lead their people into battle, it's one thing to be in a boot camp. But if there's a spiritual warfare going on, then you got to go to the battlefield. What the heck use is an army that all they do is go out and shoot guns in a field and then go to the mess camp to eat food? There's a spiritual battle going on, and they've got to engage the enemy in order to be victorious.
Marvel not, verse 13. Marvel not, my brothers, if the world hates you. Why? Well, we know that you have passed from death into life because you love the brothers. See, he doesn't say you love everybody. We know you've passed from death into life because you love the brothers. And he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Right? Whosoever hateth his brother. So you better figure out, are the devil's kids your brothers? Are the devil's kids your brothers?
Heck no.
They're not our brothers.
Coach, you were asking earlier, does God love everybody? Yes. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son.
That who's
if you don't choose to use the son,
hey,
you're
Joe,
an enemy of God.
Joe, read that again. Read it and put your English grammar hat on.
For God so loved the world.
Okay, what tense is that?
Past.
Mm-hmm. Past tense. At one time, the creation, when he made his plan, whatever point it was in there, his love for the world, and that word world there is the word that talks about the people in the world. It's not the physical hard dirt and earth.
Correct.
And at one time, he loved the world so much, he said, I'm going to make a way for everybody that ever comes into that world to come into my family of their own choice.
Yes.
That's correct. Why he sent Jesus. He does not currently love everybody on the world. He wants to. He made a way available for them to get into his love. But he also made a process and a way they have to go to get into that love. He loves those who obey him. He loves those who are his. He loves those who obey his commandments. And there's about five verses that talks about present tense loves, and none of them includes everybody.
Matthew chapter 3, Mike. Matthew chapter 3. I'm on this horse. I'm bringing it around the bend, okay? I know this is surprising and shocking to some of you, but if we don't get it, if we don't get the mission statement right, if we don't get it right. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. By the way, does anybody know what he was preaching? Oh, get saved. Everybody get saved. Accept Jesus as your Savior so you don't have to go to hell. Is that what he said? No. He said, hey, repent, y'all, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. At hand means imminent, available. Something you can reach out and say, hey, you have a screwdriver? I got one at hand. It's out here in my garage, but I can go get it. I can get it, right? Go to verse 4, Mike, for chapter 4, Mike. And then Jesus shows up on the scene because John the Baptist was with the forerunner. And what's he saying? Repent, because this is about a kingdom. Repent, because this is about a kingdom. So Jesus gets led out into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and he fights with the devil and goes on and on and on, all that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden, verse 17, I think it is, Mike, keep on going down there. The devil, they has this argument with the devil, and then all that time, look at this. And then from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, everybody get saved. Everybody get saved. Go out there and get everybody saved. No. No. Isn't it amazing? He preached the same message John preached. Repent. Why? For the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Larry.
Decades ago, God gave me a mission statement for Unity in Christ Ministries. That's the ministry that I've been operating under all these years. And it's very, very short. The mission statement is very, very short. But I believe every ministry can have this. If their mission statement can line up with this, we desire to learn how to love one another in the manner and to the degree that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ commands us to. We believe that when we are able to do this by the grace of God, that the world will then truly know that we are his. We believe that we are to be prepared to sow the seed of God's word into the lives of those whom the Holy Spirit brings across our paths, and that when that seed produces new brothers and sisters in Christ, that we will be prepared to be used by him to so disciple our new brothers and sisters in the Word of God that his Spirit will have maximum opportunity to guide their lives in his service.
Go ye into all the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, teach them to observe all that commanded you, lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age, right? So I got in trouble last week. That's when I started getting some of those penises in my email box. When I said, are you ready? You sitting down? Y'all sitting down? Because I'm not going to act like a Christian here for a minute, although I think I am. When I said, I'm glad Ruth Bader Ginsburg's dead. I'm sorry she missed heaven. I'm sorry. But I'm glad she's not out destroying lives anymore.
Amen, Coach.
I'm glad she's not out ruling, handing down court opinions that destroy marriage and kill unborn babies and do destructive to everything righteous. I'm glad she's not around to do that. I wish she'd have quit 5 years ago and got saved. But I just thank God she's not doing her wickedness anymore. And Christians came at me. Oh, my goodness. I wasn't praying she'd die. I wasn't praying for that. But I'm not going to sit around and honor her. Are you kidding me? I'm going to honor that wicked woman. Well, why are we honoring that wicked woman? Because, see, we're confused with the gospel, aren't we? We think she's a child of God. I say she was a child of the devil. Anybody want to disagree?
Coach, I want to say something here. I want to give hope. This weekend, Saturday, we had a wedding in our church. We had over 300 people in this church. When we was doing our thanks and prayer for these couple that are in our church, there were 62 prayers, and all the way from age down to a 70-year-old gave a prayer for these two people of marriage. We had people coming to us from outside of our church, couldn't believe the prayer for Jesus and the love of a man and a woman. So there is hope out there. You just got to see it.
There is hope. And can I tell you what else? There's great hunger. Great hunger. There's hope and there's hunger. Okay, I've talked a lot. Mike, did you want to come in? Your microphone's open. I don't know whether to just have it open. Does anybody want to come in?
Yeah, I can. I know for a long time, and my grandfather taught me about God when I was young. He always used to tell me, come sit on Pappy's lap, let me tell you a story. And it was always, he would always teach me the Bible, even though I didn't know what the Bible was at the time. But he said, no matter, he said, it may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, but you may not have enough time to teach me everything it was he needed to teach me. And he was the only one, him and my grandmother, were the only ones in my circle where I was being raised that would actually talk about God. My mother wouldn't do it. My dad didn't do it. My brothers and sisters, they wouldn't do it. Even the church we went to didn't do that. Okay, it was as I started living my life and I started getting older and, oh, that's what my grandfather meant. Before I even picked up a Bible, I knew. When I heard that word and I heard what was being said, oh, that's what my grandfather said. So that's what drew me to the Bible in the first place. Was going. Working through other people.
Let me make a clarifying point here, Luann, for everybody, because right wing watch, they're gonna mangle this. I want to make it clear. I do nice things to evil people. I'm nice to people. I help people who aren't Christians.
Prunes out.
I do that. I share the love of Christ to people who aren't Christians. But I want you to know something, that not everybody you come across is your brother. I'm sorry. The scriptures plainly teach that. Not everyone you come across is your brother. And I don't know about you, but just even in the natural realm, we hopefully treat our family better than we do strangers. Right? So until we understand that concept and understand that there are two sides of this battle and that Satan is on the other team, he has children, and the children are of the devil. I hate to tell you this, are enemies of the children of the cross. Till we come to that realization, we're never going to figure this thing out, friends.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Jeff.
That's what Pastor Bill's message was Sunday, and it was a hard one. And I know there's some people didn't like it, but he talked about where it's going to be 10 years from now. The battle that we're going to be facing as Christians. He looked at Kyle, because Kyle's a young pastor now. He said the battles you're going to face 10 years from now. And then he went through the born in the image of Adam, but created in the image of God. And then he went through the whole holiness and the sanctification, the Holy Spirit, and what you got to do as men. And it's not just about going to heaven. And he went on and on and on. Yes, he just hammered this thing. And some men actually come up and cried and wept. And he told them, he said, some of you might have been born 10, 20 years ago. He said the Lord's Prayer. And some of these men come up and wept, and just the failure that they've been in life. And it was hard. You know what I mean? These guys were just, they took it serious. But it was good.
Okay, Jeff, so let me say this. Same thing I said to the football player. I said, quit crying, start blocking. Quit crying and start blocking.
Amen. I'm
tired of the tears.
Well, that's what we're going to do with these men. We're going to take them to the next level.
Come on, Chad, did you want to come in? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be a smart A. I appreciate what you're saying. I appreciate what you do. But I'm tired of repentance without corresponding fruit. I'm tired of it. I'm sorry. Okay, then stop doing it. Come on in, Tim.
Thank you. One thing that I expressed over and over to men, I saw two Christian men I never met before this weekend, and they were shaken. They were Christians, so they claimed to be, but they didn't know how to be men. And I've stated to you this before, and the group, the church and secular society, are building fractured men to a point that when we need to be angry, we need to be the warrior. We don't know how to be the warrior. We're scared of it.
We are, Tim. We are, Tim. And I'm going to tell you something else. I know what I believe, so I'm not worried about criticism. I ain't worried about it. Hey, right wing watch, I'm right. You're wrong. I don't care how much you flap your jaws. I don't know how much ink you write. Couldn't care less. I'm right. Amen. You're wrong. You're wrong. Hey, listen, those of you who send me those penises, send them all you want. I'm right. You're wrong. I'm right. You're wrong. You're not going to intimidate me. You're not going to scare me off of the truth. And we're in the mess that we're in because why? We have been scared off of the truth. We're afraid.
Hey, Coach.
Why? Because we think it's all about salvation and everybody's our brother and love our brother, right? There's some people sitting in your church that ain't your brother. They still belong to the devil. Go ahead, Gary.
Yeah, just a reference. I want to say it's in Corinthians. I might be wrong about that. But the Apostle Paul writes that that as a reminder to those who have come to Christ, that just remember where they came from, because they were once children of wrath.
First, they were children. Hey, Mike, real quickly, John 3, please, real quickly. Uh-oh, I got 30 seconds. John chapter 3. I'm going to end with this. We love this one, right? Keep going down. John 3:16, the most famous verse in all the Bible. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever, by the way, that's a clarifying point, whosoever believeth in him should not have perished. What about whosoever not? It's whosoever not. We don't ever hear about the whosoever nots, do we? But the whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, because God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him, what might be saved? People might be saved, or the world might be saved. Which? Because it's not the same. Now, hang on. He believeth not is condemned. Or he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that's not is condemned already, because he hadn't believed it. This is the condemnation. The light came into the world. Men love darkness rather than light. For everyone that does the evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, but his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth the truth comes to light. Go to the last verse, Mike. I'm not running out of time. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that doesn't. Two groups. He that believes in the Son hath everlasting life, and he that don't, the wrath of God abides on him. Two teams playing this game, boys and girls. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.